last in the series of our preaches, for now at least. But we're going to be revisiting them, I think, quite a lot. So we're going to be unapologetic about doing that, because we feel that God's given this vision and mission, then everything should line up with that. So there's no point in doing something over here if it doesn't fit in with the big vision and mission that we feel God's given us. So we're going to keep coming back to it. Sometimes it takes a while to sink in, doesn't it? And trying to work out what it means for us personally, in our small groups and our families. And there's probably some new and old things that we may need to adjust. You never know. I'll just slip that one in. So what I'm going to do is go through the four main words of that mission statement, inspiring every generation to pursue the vision. Inspiring. What would you say is the definition of inspiring? What's inspiring mean?
Motivating to action.
Motivating to action. Anyone at the back? Inspiring?
Encourage.
Encourage. Energise is a good one.
It's actually breathing in what God's
doing. Breathing, yeah. There's two different. Inspiring, actually breathing in the physical action of inspiration. Very good. The definition for this, for our benefit, is to fill or someone with the urge or ability to do or feel something. And I want to pick up on perhaps some of what Dave and Chris said last week. Who was here last week? Most people here last week? It was a good time. Chris talked about coming in and feeling like there was ongoing pain for people. Some people have just come through pain. But the thing I picked up from her was we've all got stories to tell. And some of those stories haven't quite finished yet. Some of us are in the middle of those stories. And that word defiant came up, didn't it? To hold firm and to go away and do warfare. That was a challenge, wasn't it? To deal with some of the things, to push in, to dig in, to be defiant. And not to be restricted by, it was the balloons, wasn't it? The hot air balloon with the ropes pinned down to the floor. Some things we just needed to snip off that we might float and be where we need to be. And then Dave talked about three words. I was going to test you, but Mum's already said them this morning. What were the three words he spoke on? How about we do one from the back and one from the middle, one from the front? Which word, three words did he speak on?
Legacy.
Legacy. I heard a legacy there.
Generations.
Transitions. Excellent. Well done. You've all passed. Legacy, he defined as what we pass on to those who follow us. And, you know, when you feel a bit of an ouch moment, you go, oh, that one hurt. He talked about, do we replace obedience with prayer in terms of finance? Do we just need to give out of obedience rather than pray about it? Yeah, that one hurt, didn't it? Now, I'm going to be controversial. I sound like Gary Lamb, don't I? He says that every time. So I'm going to be controversial. Gossiping the vision. Gossiping is a bit of a negative word, isn't it? And most people think of it as in a negative connotation. But actually, when we talk about vision, we want to spread it around. We want to talk about it. Did you hear what Gary's doing? Did you hear what Deirdre's doing with Cap? That kind of thing. That's a positive side of gossiping. Not bending the truth, not telling lies, but actually just spreading it around and being okay doing that, spreading it and just talking about it when you bump into people. Testimony. I think we need to hear more of it, don't we?
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, again, those stories that Chris was talking about, we've all got stories to tell, but if we don't tell them, how do people know? And if you've got a dream, you know, I was thinking about Martin Luther talking about, I have a dream. If he didn't say he'd had a dream, how would we know? Mm-hmm. And there was a sort of an inspiration from that. So we need to hear what people's dreams are and to dream big and to don't worry about if they sound silly. But if you don't say them, how do you know if they're silly? Because somebody else, do you know what, I've had that dream as well. Or we could do something like that. And that's how things start. So I keep looking up there, because there should be a screen up there, but it's behind me. I was thinking about testimony. Is it linked with expectation? So if we're not expectant, then we're not ready to give our testimony. And just thinking, there's a verse that in Peter that says, "But in your hearts, honour Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." And I think if we're expectant of what God wants to do, then we'll be ready to be sharing what God's done with us. And sometimes we pray, don't we? We pray things and then we have an answer to prayer, but then we don't share it, or we forget about it. We forget about those prayers. But for me, there's a challenge for me personally that I need to expect God to move, because we're asking God to move. So we just need to raise that bar, I think. So reports from other churches. It's good to hear what other churches are doing, isn't it? Salt and Light, being part of a bigger family, going to camps, conferences, having people in, not necessarily from Salt and Light, but anyone, where we hear what's going on and we connect and say, well, actually, the bigger picture, God is moving. He's moving on his church. He's doing stuff. And we can be inspired through that as well. Where have we been? It's important to know where we've been, isn't it? And we can, again, that links in with testimony. If God has been with us, if we can tell our story, we can testify that God, through the situation, has been there, and we can stand up and say, actually, it's okay. What we're going to look to for the future is good. God wants the best for us because we know what he's done before, because he's faithful. There's a verse in Psalms which talks about passing on the word of God, the goodness of God to other generations. Oh, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, what we have heard and known, what of our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. We need to celebrate what God's done in South Kent Community Church, don't we? I was thinking about Stuart and Teresa. We need to celebrate what God has done through their... They've got a story. They've got a few stories to tell. They're just one couple. But we need to celebrate what God has done. And it does something in our hearts, doesn't it? It instills hope. Actually, God is interested. God has got a plan for us. We need to share it. We need to gossip it. We need to talk about it from the front, small groups. We need to inspire one another. So how do we inspire one another? How do we share each other's dreams? How do we positively affect one another's life as we become better disciples of Jesus? I'm going to show a quick video. There was a bit more to that one. You might have seen it on Facebook. It gets a little bit darker. But it was children copying either adults or their parents. It's from a Australian children's charity, and their phrase was, "Children see, children do." And often what we do is we catch something rather than we're taught it. I'm a see and do person, so in my world of imaging, I would want to sit down on a chair and scan somebody and do it. Until I'd done it, I couldn't do it. If someone told me how to do it on one day and then practice it the other, I just couldn't do it. It was harder. But there's something about the vision. We can't teach vision, can we? We've got to catch it. It is both, but I think we need to catch something together. Perhaps that advert can apply to us as a church. Not that we're going to start smoking and throwing cans on the floor, but we watch each other, don't we? And young men and young women, we might be following older men and women as we become more like Jesus. But I was thinking, it's not just about age, is it? It's about maturity. How we inspire one another isn't about age. You know, I can learn from somebody younger and older. Perhaps that's the way it is. Perhaps the way that's the kingdom of God. There's another clip. It's a bit more positive, a bit more lighthearted. Okay. Here we go. Thanks. Oh, dear. Yeah, I nearly wet myself first time I saw that. That was funny. I forgot what I was going to bring out of that. Do you know we can positively affect one another, can't we? What we do, what we see. You're singing. What we do in a positive way. And I think, again, it's something we can catch. If we're doing it, if we all catch something, then people will follow us. Okay, we'll go with that one. Sorry about that. You know, when you some mornings, you wonder how you get out the house of children. It was one of those this morning. I thought, flipping it. So the next phrase in that mission statement is every generation. There was a typo in one of our emails, and it said, inspiring the next generation, not inspiring every generation, the next generation to pursue the vision, rather than inspiring every generation. And it made me think about the words we'd chosen, and we chose them very carefully. It's not about the current generation. It's not about the old generation. It's not about two generations' time, but it's all of us together. I was going to ask a bit of a rude question. How many people are retired or about to retire in the next year? Are we allowed to put hands up? That's a lot of people, isn't there? Thank you. I've been thinking about basically how much work these guys do, and stuff just wouldn't get done if these guys didn't do it because they've got time. And I was thinking that there's a spiritual principle of us honouring what has gone before, what is happening, as we move forward into the fullness of what God has for us. And in Romans, it talks about honouring one another. Be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honouring one another. The ESV says, outdo one another in showing honour. It's quite strong, isn't it? So I just felt like I wanted to honour those people who are now not working but actually giving up their time. Because without you guys, things wouldn't get done. There's several definitions for honour or honouring. To glory in, to promote, to elevate another status, to give prestige to someone, great respect and admiration. And there's a guy called Danny Silk who talks about a culture of honouring. Perhaps that's something we need to pick up even more. I was also thinking about Dad and Vincent, along with Vincent, Julie and my mum, and that sometimes we wait until the last day of their service, or time we give them a bottle of wine and a box of chocolates, and we stand up and give them a clap. I think that sounds a bit sort of a throwaway comment, but why do we need to wait until that final hour, as it were, to honour them? So I thought this morning, could we honour them? I don't know how to do this other than to just clap them. But there is a new season, and it feels like a time to honour them, even now. It doesn't mean we can't do it again or show how we can honour them in different ways. Are we up for that? They're not finished yet. In fact, they've probably got more to do than ever, but we'll see. a change, maybe. And there's some of us who are obviously still working or working, you know, paid employment. I was just looking at some stats. We work the longest hours in the EU, in the UK. The number of people working over 48 hours a week has more than doubled since 1998. People are busy, they work longer hours. And serving the church and ultimately the kingdom comes at a cost. Sometimes it's big things, sometimes it's the small things done week after week. And we need to honour that as well. I was thinking of only Nigel this morning, not feeling great because he's been poorly, but actually every week helping out and doing stuff, helping me personally to do things like on the AV and the stewarding. And Eric every week. I'm going to get emotional. I was holding it together. I've just turned into my wife. She'll get a go in a minute. I was thinking of Eric as well. I see him. When you stand at the front, you see people, and perhaps you won't always see it unless you come to the front. But Eric's at the back all the time, preparing doing stuff. There's other people. I was thinking of Mel helping in the office, supporting Joyce and what she does. And there's tons of others every week that do stuff that's unpaid. And I think we need to do better at honouring those people. Whether it's from the front or not, whether it's just in conversation, but I think we need to do it more, that we change our culture so that it's all the time encouraging one another, building each other up. So bless you guys. Right, I might get slammed for this one. What are we leaving behind? What I was going to do is bring up some symbols that represented different decades and see if you could guess which symbols those decades were from. But I didn't have time to do that. But I was thinking about the labels that we get given across the generations, depending on what time you were born in. So if you're a baby boomer, so aged roughly between 47 and 65, this is what you're labelled as being like. They have had it all. Self-obsessed, stuck in their ways. It's all right. My age group's coming next. It gets better. Generation X. So early 30s to mid 40s, perhaps. Labelled the slacker generation. Uncommitted and unfocused. The why me generation. You're not receiving this, are you? This is just what our website says. In fact, lots of people can't agree on these definitions, so don't get too worried. Generation Y, born between 1981. Is that you, Phil? We're in different generations. Between 81 and 94. Lazy. Debt-ridden. And programmed for instant gratification. Internet-addicted. And lonely. Generation Z, those born between 95 and 2009, technology focused, maybe the iPad generation. Generation Alpha, so they've come round to A again, most formally educated generation in history, already being labelled materialistic. I don't think those groups are particularly helpful. It stereotypes us, doesn't it, into different groups, but it does make us aware of the culture that we live in now and what we have lived in, and that's important. And I think we're using the word culture from the front a bit more than we used to. And I've heard someone say, well, I don't really know what culture means, and that's a fair point. So culture might be like the ideas, the customs, the social behaviours of a particular group. So the Western world has a culture, my workplace has a culture, our church has a culture, or cultures. There's a phrase that I've heard, it says, culture eats strategy for breakfast. Let that one sit in. Actually, it's hard to change the culture, basically. So you can put things in place, but actually the culture takes a long time to change. I was trying to think of some examples. It's not going to work this morning. Because often this front row is empty. I was thinking, how do we change the culture and get people to sit on the front row? I don't know. I'm not saying we should. I'm just saying. Chocolate. There is chocolate down here this morning. It's quality shit, unopened. So I think we're going to be using that word a bit more. In fact, we use it in one of our mission statements, cultivating a discipleship culture, more than just some strategic quick fix, but actually changing the way we think, the way we do things, our behaviours. So with reference to culture, we want to be aware of the culture we live in, be prepared to be countercultural, and that means doing stuff that's different to what our culture expects us to do. And change some of our culture, church culture, like discipleship, perhaps. Just going to take a time check here. I was on the train this week going to Lewisham. I was amazed by the number of houses being built, houses being put up everywhere. squeezing into every last bit of space they could, right up to the train tracks almost. Amazing. But I saw this poster. Pursuing means to follow in an effort or to capture, to chase. But I saw this poster, increased threat to your security. I thought, that's a bag on its own. I thought, are we like that with our vision, with what God's called us to do? Is our security at risk because we're doing something on our own? I was just feeling like God was saying, actually, church is my idea. It's doing stuff together. It's sharing in the journey together, sharing in the vision God's given to us. You're not one man isolated on its own, but actually there's people around us. So not like that bag, but we're in it together. And I think we need more team, and it means more of us doing more stuff, ultimately. And that's coming. Finish the sentence. Dedication. I was going to play it, but my wife probably would have cringed, but she just cringed because I just sung it. So I was thinking about this. Dedication. What do we need? Dedication, yes, perhaps. But actually, I thought, first of all, we need motivation to do what we need to do. Jesus is our vision. If Jesus doesn't motivate us, if Jesus doesn't do something in our hearts to pursue the vision he's got for us, we can have all the dedication we want, but if it's out of a wrong motivation, we're in trouble. So our vision is to demonstrate God's kingdom in community, at home and away. I was just thinking, can we get too focused on our own vision? Can the vision be a bit of an idol in itself? Do we put it in the place of Jesus? Perhaps even building my own ministry, or a job, or a role, or a task. I was thinking about a time when I was little in Dorset, and I was on an inflatable dinghy, and I was in a part of the harbour which was sandy, and there was the general public. And actually, what happened was, over time, and I didn't realise it, I'd been so focused on what I was doing in my little area of sand, in the sea, in this dinghy, I might have been with Phil, and basically over time I looked up and found I was in another part of the harbour with all the boats. And there was Dad chatting, what are you doing? And basically what had happened is, because I'd been so focused on what I was doing and my bit, that I hadn't appreciated where the tide had started to come in and it started to move along. And I found myself in a place I didn't want to be, and it was quite scary. I didn't really know. I mean, it was only a few minutes. But I was just thinking, we need to keep Jesus at the centre of what we do. And somehow, sometimes when we focus on something, we find that sometimes Jesus just drifts just out into our peripheral vision. And sometimes that's all it takes. And God's been speaking to me about that personally, just keeping Jesus at the centre of everything we do. That's the video that we've seen already. This song keeps being stuck in my head. We don't sing it, you probably know it. Jesus at the centre of it all. It will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus be the centre of my life. Jesus be the centre of your church. Nothing else matters, nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the centre, and everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. What's at the centre of our church and our vision? Is it the admin? Is it an event? Is it our worship, our music? Is it the poor and needy? Actually, nothing can replace Jesus as being our ultimate focus, our ultimate vision. There's going to be probably a bit of time in a moment to come back to sing maybe that song, Jesus Be the Centre, as we finish up in a minute. Connected with all that we shared this morning, we got given a word, which Fiona's just going to come and share now. When I say we, the church.
Just to give you a bit of context, somebody had a word for the church back in March 2010 and shared it with Dave Richards, who asked them to hold on to it for a period of time. And then we had an eldership away day in September 2012 and felt that it was the right time for that to be shared. So I will share it as it was given to us and then add a few bits at the end. So it was the main points were that they woke up one day, there was a screen, they felt that there was a screen came in front of them, and it was a picture of an ocean, which was very smooth, had a large white cruise vessel not moving. If you're a boating person, some of these terms might make sense, I'll explain them, but it said twin screws, which I think are the rotating bits, the bottom, the propeller type things, slowly rotating, but not very propulsive. A rudder not appearing to be very active, so not setting very much direction. Passengers going about cruise holiday activities, and there was staff attending, and all appearing very normal. There was engine room staff at work, and the engines were running, but there wasn't anything of note taking place. The bridge appeared to be in confusion and a degree of disarray. There was no apparent master of the vessel or a clear line of command, and there was a sense of some of the officers in discord. They couldn't see any charts, papers or maps setting a course, and the compass wasn't working. In the sea itself, there was a fog and there was a heavy mist that had descended. And the following day, the person woke up and had another picture, and again, it started with a screen descending and an appearance of an ocean, rough but not dangerous, and as we most of us live by the sea, we know what that looks like. And in it was a very modern, sleek, grey naval vessel. They couldn't see any details of weapons, but the vessel was clearly a destroyer, a battle cruiser, and there was a lot of order around the vessel. It was moving very fast through the choppy seas with a huge bow wave, and had a very considerable wake through it at the back. And it was moving from southeast to southwest. It had direction and a distinct heel as it travelled. It had a sense of purpose around it, that people who looked at it knew it wasn't something to be tangled with. And there was a sense of purpose and authority about the vessel that moved through. And they gave the word feeling like it was a compare and contrast word, that it was something to be kind of reflected on. And as an eldership team, we talked about it there and then, but equally we all went away and decided that we needed to weigh it and consider it. And we do feel like, as an eldership, this is a time, these times of transitions that we're going through at the moment are part of, I don't know why I'm crying, goodness me, just need to gather myself. Right, times of transitions are where we're at the moment, and it's not a criticism or a critique of what's been and what is to come, but that actually there is a sense of renewed purpose. And I think what we would like to say is that if you compare a passenger ship, holiday cruise, everybody's on the boat travelling to a destination, but they all have individual purposes for being there. Everybody's on their own holiday with their own idea of where they want to be and to go. And whereas a battleship moves with one purpose, and it cuts through with a sense of direction. And if you have ever been somewhere or participated in something that has a lot of focus, you know that if you try and go off and do your own thing, actually it doesn't mesh with what else is going on. And well, I haven't been in the army or done anything like that, but I know what I've seen on TV. And the thing, everybody plays a small part and they're very different roles to play, but everybody moves with one purpose. And that is where we feel that this word, and we just felt like it was the right time to start to share this, because the transitions have come, are coming, and will continue. But if we all get a sense that actually God is in this, and he's been preparing the ground and laying a foundation, that there is a sense of renewed purpose and direction coming.
Yeah, that's great. Well done. You said it better than I would have said it. I've already got a microphone. Might as well use that one. This word is significant. I think we need to say that. I think it's important to stress that. And it's kind of being worked out. And I think we wanted to say it now because there are things happening. And perhaps unsettling is probably the word. Some unsettlings here and there. We've had people leave. There's different things going on, different challenges as well. Not just the finance. But actually, we wanted to share this because we feel like God had already spoken before. And now we've got the security that actually God has said something. And this is God outworking something. So we're trusting in him for good stuff, for better things. Can we stand together? Can we stand this place? I realise there's a lot that's been said this morning. Just take a minute, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing "Jesus Be the Center." If that's okay, Phil. And yeah, thank you, God, that you choose to use us, your church, as a vehicle to bring your kingdom. That's us. Broken, weary, hurt people. That's us, Lord. We've got stories to tell, and we're going to continue to tell them, Lord. Father, would you forgive us where we don't testify to those stories, that we're not ready to tell them, Lord, because it will instill hope in others, Lord. Lord, would you help us to be unapologetic about sharing those, whether it's one-to-one, up the front, small groups, with our neighbours, Lord Jesus. Lord, where we need to change our culture so that we are more honouring of one another, intentionally, Lord, help us, help me, that we'd find a couple of words to say to somebody when we see them doing a job they've done year after year, or they've done something that is massive, Lord, whatever it might be. Help us, Lord. Father, help us to be motivated by you, Lord Jesus. Would you do something in our hearts, Lord? May it start with you. Lord, we ask for a fresh revelation of your Son, the Lord Jesus, living Lord Jesus. Father, would you be our vision, our fresh vision? Would you be the wind in our sails? Would you be the fire in our hearts, Lord? Father, we're not an organization. We have your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, that makes us different from the Rotary Club down the road or somebody else. Lord, Holy Spirit, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit. Father, we're expectant for a time of breakthrough, Lord. We need it, Lord Jesus. So Jesus, would you forgive us where we've let you drift from the center, even slightly? Lord, even now, would you just help us bring to mind things the way we need to bring you back into the centre of our lives, our families, of our church. Father, may we be inspired right here, right now, by the vision of you, Lord, that we may be inspired to see the kingdom of God outworked in all our communities, Lord Jesus, not just where we live, but where we work, where we serve, where we play, where we eat, Lord Jesus. Jesus, would you be the center, Lord Jesus?